GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show with a man who's mean in the kitchen. He beats the eggs and he whips the cream. He's our executive chef. Taking time away from Parker Ridge to go to Spacious Studio 7A, it's Chef Tim Lewis. Tim, welcome back to GHRT. Long time no see.
Hey, guys. Right. How are you?
We're fine.
He just flew back in from Portland's 2020 Chef Summit, and boy, are his arms tired.
Yes, very tired.
The 2020 Chef Summit. Ooh, it sounds so professional.
It is.
Exciting.
It's gaining summit. It's gaining some momentum. It's about, yeah. I think it's the fourth year in, and it's just the best chefs of Maine kind of converge on this summit, and a lot of them or us, we do demonstrations, we help out with food trends just to educate the folks and let them know. It's really a simulcast social media event as well, so you can view it anywhere in the world on Facebook or other social media outlets, and they go live at the event, and it's a couple days. It was from January 29th. And then January 30th, and then on the weekend, which I believe would have been Saturday, it was at one of the ski resorts here in Maine. Right, the exact name leaves my brain at the moment.
One of those ski resorts over there.
Yeah, out west.
Out in the west. Yeah.
So
you cook some stuff.
We do. I went with, let me back up a little bit. Yep. So I was invited to the summit to help out with Chef Darren Goldstein from Provender Kitchen and Bar in Ellsworth. And it was a delight that he asked me to go because I really wanted to go. Yep. And I had been viewing this summit online for quite some time. And I'm you know, very thankful that he chose me and a couple of members from his crew. So I went there and I did a lot of chopping of food. And a lot
because we were going to ask, were you the sous chef?
Essentially, yes. I guess I would be one of the sous chefs.
Risking carpal tunnel, whipping as fast as you can and chopping like crazy.
He gave me a case of rutabaga and he said, I want them this little. And you can't see that on the air, but it's very small. No, and they all had to be very uniform.
I never can figure out how you don't cut your fingers off. I see the guys put their knuckles right next to the knife and they go, bam, 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 bam.
Right, and that's how you do it. That's how you don't cut them off of your fingers.
Yeah, you don't want those fingertips sticking out. I'm missing a couple fingertips over the years.
Like a high school shop teacher.
Yeah, I was missing the thumb.
Serious planar accident, kids. We thought Mr. Morris was just like, woohoo, because he's giving us the high five, you know, love you sign. No, planar accident. Took out the middle two right there.
That's right. So I had a lot of fun, and we talked a lot about one of the up-and-coming trends in the restaurant industry, and I'm sure... Okay.
All right, everyone, listen up.
All right.
Chef Tim Lewis is going to tell you what's coming in the restaurant industry.
So you know, there's two things that I saw that are trending major. And you know craft beer and fine wine and whatnot. So that's the drink end of it. But mixology is the newest thing. They want to make, and it's been kind of happening for years now. Just Maine's a little behind. But culinary cocktails, you know, making your own spirits, bitters, and... even seltzers and whatnot.
Culinary cocktail.
That's cocktail.
You're the guy that introduced us to that Bob Cutler guy.
So Bob, he came
down
in.
At Novio's.
He made the drink that tasted just like bruschetta.
Remember that? And then he came in one other time and he made the one that tasted like, was the Halloween one.
Yeah, I can't remember that one.
Candy corn or something? It was so good,
so
I can't remember.
There's so many different ones that are kind of, you know, so many different things you can do. And it's been being done for so long, it's just right now it seems to be the trend. The other one is plant-based menus. That's the other trend coming up.
Okay, Dunkin' is doing that already.
Well,
they got a plant-based. Well, what are you ripping me off for, though?
Beyond the impossible.
Fast food restaurants have been doing that.
Well, I'm talking about just taking your, you know, like wintertime, there's root vegetables. That's, you know, what we're using here in Maine. So Darren had done a dish at this summit, and it was a vegetable tartare. So it's basically a different take, a plant-based take on beef tartare. I'm not sure if you've ever had beef tartare or maybe even tuna crudo or salmon ceviche.
I've had beef tartare, which it's funny to say, but... Boy, it was nice to taste.
It is. I think it is very.
Yeah, it's kind of good. A funny word.
I do like meat, but tartare means raw. So basically, it's raw beef. You want to use a really top grade, of course. You don't want to get anybody sick.
Next time the weather is raw, we're going to refer to it as tartare in our forecasts.
But isn't that what Howie Carr is always saying? Something about tartare?
Something.
Yeah, with his shrimp. No, with his clams. Fried clams and tartare sauce.
Oh, tartare sauce. That's a little different, George, but I appreciate your willingness to learn.
I mean, all I want is a steak. I don't care. I don't want it all wet.
Wow.
So you're telling me I'm going to get my steak in a... I can spread it on my toast.
Thank you for that. I needed that this morning. Yes, so this vegetable tartare is made with rutabaga and parsnips and parsnip crisps and...
You see, vegetables are already often raw. I mean, but raw tartare...
But this is, you know, one of them was... The rutabaga was reduced down almost like a pickling method. So it had that nice pickled taste to it. Mm-hmm. And you mix that. So he came up with a purple sweet potato aioli. So if you think about it, and the mayonnaise is the veganaise. So it was completely vegan. And one of the points that Darren had brought up that I loved that he said this was...
That's genius.
Instead of labeling people like, you're a vegetarian, you're a vegan, why not just say plant-based? You know, instead of just labeling people like, well, you know, you're one of those vegans, right? Yeah. You know, how about we, you know, I think we can all use a little bit more plant in our life. I mean, you know, how many days it takes to digest a steak?
That is good. That is good marketing. It is good, smart wording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like that. So even at Parker Ridge, I have been looking at more plant-based menu items on my a la carte menu.
Okay, but sidebar, Your Honor, you're serving a clientele at Parker Ridge. Excuse me, Tim Lewis, executive chef here at GHRT. And they are just a little bit toward the senior side, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
And you would think that maybe they would be a bit more, unless there were some like hippies back from the 1960s who remember the granola at Woodstock. They're probably more on the meat and potatoes standard what they used. No?
Yeah, well, they are, but yeah. I do have my handful of plant-based menu lovers. Yeah. And... So there, I always try to rotate some sort of plant-based food item into the menu, but I want to get more creative. I want to set the bar high. I want to, you know, I want to be able to offer them what the rest of the world is getting, because the baby boomers that are retiring right now, I'm not talking about the 93-year-old folks that are in their assisted living facility, but the folks that are retiring are younger now. So it is more of they know what they want. Mm-hmm. They want the same things that restaurants are offering in retirement communities. So we don't have to worry about them picking another restaurant to go to for dinner. We want them to come to our dining room at Parker Ridge, so we want to be able to offer the same thing. So that's why I'm looking into, you know, we even have a happy hour where we offer culinary cocktails and we offer fine wine. Folks really aren't too into craft beer, but and then of course the plant-based menu as well. So that was talked about a lot at this summit, and Darren was front and center, one of the main attractions at this summit, because he has a full plant-based menu. So it's not just a couple, two or three items. It's here's your plant-based menu, here's your regular menu, here's your taco menu, you know, and it's crazy that he's doing this. He has a lot of offerings, and I think he's crazy, but I still love him. He's doing a very good job.
My cardiologist is always telling me, eat real food.
Mm-hmm.
Eat real food.
Real food.
Don't eat anything that got like 12 ingredients. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. If it comes out of a box, throw it away.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, eat real food.
I agree 100%. And how many of us are guilty for not doing that? I'm not going to name restaurants, but chain restaurants in particular, most of their food comes in pre-breaded, pre-cut, in a bag, microwave it, whatever it is.
We don't
know what we're getting and putting in our body. But if you go to a restaurant that does offer these, you know, farm to table, you know, sea to table type menu items, then you at least know, you can trust that the chef is giving you something that's fresh, just came in that day, that he prepared, he touched, he took care of, and you're putting something in your body that's good for you.
How long does it take longer to do this farm to table vegan plant-based than the traditional food that we're being served? And if so, is there a higher price that we are paying and willing to pay when the check comes?
Well, you know, there is a little bit, I guess, I can't say higher price. I would say maybe more of the same price. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can expect maybe, you know, a really nice plant-based menu item probably going for the same price as a steak. And the reason being is because we are locally sourcing our food now in restaurants. We go to these farms, we buy our food way ahead of time, and we ask them, okay, this is what I want. I want, you know, in the fall, I want fresh butternut squash. I want parsnips. So these farms are opening all the time. They're cultivating old 100-year-old soil to tap that old farm land to grow these new things. There's new farms, like 30-acre farms is doing something amazing with fermenting cabbage and making kimchi and whatnot. And this is what chefs want, because it's old school. Was you would stop as a chef back in the 80s, you would stop at the market on the way into work and you would pick up fresh food that you would put on your menu for that day. Mm-hmm. And we've gone so far away from that, but now it's a full pendulum swing to come back.
Yeah, I like to buy what I'm going to eat today. You mentioned kimchi. I've never had it.
Oh, it's so good.
I know that people kimchi, do. Rick? My grandson once served in Korea, mm-hmm. and he came back. He tells me, kimchi is wonderful, but it's pickled cabbage or something.
Well, it's fermented, and there is a huge process I won't get into right now. Well, it can be huge, you know, as well, but
quick pickle.
Quick pickling.
You can do a quick pickle. There's a phrase that's never been said on our radio station ever
before.
Well,
I have so much innuendo that I bring to the table. Don't you appreciate
that?
We've
also never heard the phrase, create a rutabaga either, so.
Create a rutabaga. Yeah.
What did he pass? You know, a box of rutabaga.
A crate or a box. He gave me it was a case.
A case of rutabaga.
Case of rutabaga. Oh,
it's like a case of coronavirus. I want no part of that.
I don't want a case of that, no.
So that's what's ahead. You're going to see more plant-based foods on your menus, mm-hmm. and you're going to see more craft mixology. I'll call it that.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of folks don't drink out there, but I enjoy something with my meal. I want to, and a lot of these mixologists, and I know a couple in Bangor, they're very good. Mm-hmm. I don't have their permission to mention their name, but anyhow, they actually know how to pair the spirit with the food. They actually talk to the chef and say, what do you have for me today? Mm-hmm. In a restaurant setting. And the chef will say, well, I have these blueberries I need to use up, or I have, you know, whatever it happens to be. And that mixologist will build their cocktail menu for that evening based on what the chef is serving as specials. And that is brilliant, in my opinion, because typically you only do that with craft beer or wine. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do that, very hard to do that with spirits.
And when this comes out, you're going to see a lot of people, I think, pivoting to the idea that these spirits, this drink is designed not to knock you on your arse like you did at the pit party back in Waldo County back in high school.
Right.
It's actually meant to cause you to better enjoy your dining experience, because it's causing your palate to twist and change. And oh my word, that steak tastes even more fantastic because I sipped that first.
Exactly. Very well said.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.